Soul Swapped Soulmates, a Bad Buddy Fic, rated T, written by Flutterfire and read by Sunkit and Shash, a Pod Together collaboration. Beep, beep, beep. Bran groaned and rolled over, reaching for the offending alarm, only to have his hand slam into a wall.
Ow!
Suddenly wide awake, he sat up, shaking his stinging hand and staring blearily around. He wasn't in his bedroom, nor was he in his dorm room. Indeed, he didn't recognize the room he was in.
Where am I?
Reaching down to grab the covers and toss them aside, he instead grabbed an ancient, worn, stuffed bunny-like creature. Long now, his brain supplied. He remembered seeing the questionable thing in Pat's dorm room and teasing Pat about it after being forced to hide from Pat's dad the previous week.
What the hell?
He dropped the stuffed animal as if it had burned him and scrambled out of bed, panic rising like floodwaters. Glancing down, Pran saw shorts and a t-shirt that definitely weren't his, and a body that his still-waking brain informed him wasn't his, either. Panicking, he patted down his body, confirming by touch what his eyes were already telling him was true. This wasn't his body, but he had a sneaking suspicion that he knew whose it was. Pran searched the room for a mirror, unwilling to leave its safety in search of a bathroom in an unfamiliar house whose residents would believe him to be someone else. In the end, he found a phone sitting on the bedside table, and used the fingerprint scanner to unlock the screen. Activating the camera, he reversed it so that the screen showed him his, Pat's, face.
Oh shit.
Forcing himself to take deep breaths, Bran went to the window and looked out. Across the rooftop, he saw the outside of his bedroom window. He was definitely in Pat's room, and if he was in Pat's body, in Pat's room, then...
No! No, no, no!
His eyes narrowed as he thought about just where the erstwhile owner of this body likely was. He was less than amused by the possibilities. The last thing he wanted or needed was Pat in his body, in his bedroom, in his house, with his parents. With a start, he scrambled for the door to be certain it was locked and no one, not Pa and definitely not Pat's parents, could enter and find Pran in Pat's body. He tripped, his foot kicking something that shot across the floor and hit the foot of his dresser with a loud metallic clang. Pran winced at the noise and hoped no one was around to hear it. Glancing down, he saw the discarded tin can telephone from the night before. He shook his foot free of the string connecting the cans and stumbled the last few steps to the door, falling into it with a thud and a curse. As he grabbed the knob, it was already turning.
Yeah, what's going on in there?
Pa's voice through the door sent Pran's adrenaline spiking, and he panicked. Pran fumbled, spacing on what to say in response.
Everything's fine. Nothing's wrong here.
The doorknob rattled, and Pran had to brace himself against the door to keep Pa from opening it.
What are you doing? You can't come in here.
A distinctly feminine groan sounded through the door, followed by a soft thump. Pran guessed Pa was hitting her head against the door in frustration. Irritation was clear in her voice when she spoke.
If this is supposed to be a punishment for siding with Pran, then I have news for you, Hia.
What? I'm not dressed yet, Pa.
Well, hurry up. I expect a ride to school on your way back to campus here. You'd better be downstairs in 15 minutes.
There was no way Pran was going to campus in Pat's body. Not only did he not know all of Pat's schedule, much less his schoolwork, but the last thing he wanted to do was spend time with the very people who were the cause of the bus stop rebuild nightmare he was trapped in. The very thought gave him a headache, which gave him an idea.
Listen, I'm not feeling so great. Bad headache. Might be a migraine. I don't think I can drive, much less sit through lectures today. Sorry. I'll email my professors, Pren finished lamely.
Pa's efforts to enter stopped, and she groaned again. There was a moment of silence, just long enough for Pren to breathe a sigh of relief. Then she spoke, her tone of voice promising evils Pren couldn't even imagine. He was suddenly very relieved he didn't have a little sister of his own.
You better not be using this headache as an excuse to get sympathy after you got Pren and his friends in trouble.
She slapped her hand on the door, startling Pren before her voice receded down the hall. He stared at the door in shock. Pa was siding with him against Pat? He leaned his forehead against the door, and could almost feel an actual headache start to throb behind his eyes. Turning, he staggered over to the bed and flopped face first onto it. How was this his life? He sprawled there for several minutes, mentally going over the morning and unable to make any sense out of what was happening.
This has to be a dream. No, a nightmare. Wake up! Wake up! Wake up!
Rolling over, he sat up and physically tried to force himself out of whatever dream this was. He slapped his face and pinched his cheeks, hoping something would work. He would be able to escape back to reality and be home in his own bed. In his own body. Face stinging and cheeks sore, Pren gave up. No luck. Somehow, for some unknown reason, he was really stuck in Pat's body with no clue about how to return to his own. Abruptly, he remembered that Pat was very likely in his body. He dove for Pat's phone, unlocking it and dialing his own number.
Come on. Come on. Come on. Answer, you shithead.
A ringing alarm dragged Pat out of the strangest dream he could remember ever having. Groggy, he reached towards the annoying sound and slapped his hand around until he knocked over whatever it was with a clatter. The ringing stopped, and he continued to lie with his eyes closed for several minutes. He groaned, not wanting to get up or even open his eyes if he was honest. The previous night, he'd felt extra guilty over his role in tormenting Pran's architecture buddy at the bar. He had known it was wrong, but he was so jealous of the closeness the two friends shared. After being shut down by Pren when he was trying to explain that the destruction at the bus stop wasn't his fault, Pat knew he had to do something. He had proceeded to stay up far too late trying to resolve the situation. First, he talked to Mo, who had been the one to post the video online. Pat had been unable to convince his friend to delete the video, as Mo didn't want to lose face in front of their friends. In the end, he asked Mo to share the password, and Pat would take responsibility for deleting it. Pat had wanted to share the news that he had deleted the video with Pran, but the stupid ass had refused to answer his calls and texts. It had been well after midnight before he'd finally gotten to sleep. Pat groaned again. He did not want to get up. But he knew Pa would be hounding him to leave before long. Opening his eyes, Pat startled and sat up, unfamiliar sheets pooling at his waist. This was not his room. He rubbed his eyes and looked again. But everything was still wrong. Why was he in Pran's room? And not Pran's dorm room, but the bedroom in his parents' house.
Where's Pran? And why am I in his bed?
Shoving the bed covers off, he maneuvered himself to sit on the edge of the bed and looked around, again wondering where Pran was and what had happened to cause him to apparently spend at least part of the night in Pran's bed. Had he somehow sleepwalked from his room to Pran's? He had certainly crossed over and climbed through Pran's window often enough in the past to know how to do it in his sleep, but he seriously doubted Pran would have been okay with Pat climbing into his bed. How was he going to explain this? He leaned forward, braced his elbows on his knees, and stared at clasped hands that weren't his.
What the hell?
Within seconds, Pat realized that not only was he in Pran's bed, but he was also in Pran's body? How was that even possible? He thought back on the night before. He distinctly remembered getting ready and going to sleep in his own bed, in his own room, in his own body. Standing, Pat began to pace around the room.
This is not good. How am I supposed to pretend to be Pran? How am I supposed to deal with Pran's classes? His parents? His friends? Shit.
The unfamiliar ringtone of a phone interrupted his panic. He stared at the phone like it was a snake for several seconds before crossing the room and picking it up. When he saw his own number, with the name Just a Friend on the screen, he fumbled the phone, nearly dropping it in his efforts to answer. Pran, is that you?
Now why would I be calling myself? Oh, wait, could it be because I'm stuck in your body? What the hell, Pat?
Pran's sarcasm was coming through loud and clear. Pat's irritation rose. He stalked over to the window and threw the curtains open. Sure enough, Pran, in Pat's body, was standing in Pat's bedroom, glaring through the windows at him.
What? You think this is my fault? That I somehow planned to invade your body just so I could take advantage of you?
Pat paused and looked down at Pran's body. He idly scratched his neck and chest, before flattening his hand to rub his belly, distracted by the implications of what he just said. Shaking his head, he refocused on Pran, who was standing with one hand on his hip as he held Pat's phone near his ear. It was disconcerting to see himself standing there, and no, it wasn't him. The dichotomy was unnerving. The look on Pran's face was pure outrage.
Stop that!
Pran ordered.
Stop what?
Pran spluttered before demanding.
Stop thinking about my body!
A slow smile spread over Pat's face, and he couldn't resist the urge to tease Pran. Slowly, he moved his hand down, smoothing over the soft cotton shirt until his fingers fondled the bottom, where the hem brushed the sleep pants. Pat's face flushed with Pran's rage and embarrassment as Pran squawked,
"Stop touching me!"
Pat huffed out a laugh and moved his hand to lean on Pran's desk, smiling at Pran. "Anyway, you called me, sort of.
So, what can I do for you, Pat?"
"What are we going to do?"
"I don't know." Pat shrugged. I just woke up here and was trying to figure out how I was going to get through breakfast with your parents and classes with your friends.
Don't.
Don't what? Pat was confused.
Either. Both. Avoid my parents and we will both email our professors that we're sick. I already told Pa you are. We need to figure out what happened last night and how we fix it.
Well, I have no interest in hiding in your bedroom all day. Get dressed and we'll meet up at my dorm room. We can eat and try to figure this out. Not giving Pran a chance to argue, Pat hit the button to disconnect and turned away to find something to wear. As he pulled Pran's sleep shirt over his head, Pat reflexively smiled at the scent. Pran's scent. He paused before discarding the shirt on the bed, instead raising it to his face to sniff again. On the plus side, for however long this lasted, He could indulge in his desire to smell Pran whenever he wanted, and the other man couldn't say anything or stop him. Smirking, he took another sniff. He could get used to this. By mid-afternoon, they had discussed and dissected every action either of them had taken in the past week, breaking into arguments over their friends' actions on more than one occasion. The fact that they were both fielding texts from said friends all day wasn't helping matters. As angry as Pran had been with Pat the previous night, they had bigger problems today. Something he hadn't thought possible the day before while attempting to deal with the bus stop rebuild budget. Exhausted, Pran flopped his head back on the sofa cushion behind him. He felt like they were getting nowhere, for simply nothing either of them had done that might have caused them to switch bodies. What the hell? How is this even possible? He was glad they had migrated to his room to eat lunch. It wasn't that Pat's room was messy, it just wasn't up to Pran's very particular cleanliness standards. Besides, not even being in Pat's body helped him relax in Pat's space. "Why can't we all just get along?" Pran set his phone aside after responding to the latest message from Y. He closed his eyes and groaned. If he got another text bitching about engineering students, he might scream. "You know why." Pat's response was dry, and Pran couldn't decide if he was being supportive or sarcastic. Was his voice this hard for Pat to read? "Because your friends are idiots," he offered. Pat leveled an unimpressed look at him, and Pran laughed. As weird as it was to see Pat's expressions on his own face, it was definitely giving Pran ideas for expressions that might work against Pat to get his way in the future. He wondered if Pat would recognize his own expressions on Pran's face once they returned to their respective bodies. Provided they could figure out how. Pran was running out of ideas.
"It's not like we could just ask the internet." "Or can we?"
He sat up, and Pat looked at him expectantly. A soft knock at the door startled them, interrupting Pran's train of thought. Anxious, Pat looked from Pran to the door and back. "Are you expecting anyone?" Pran shook his head and picked up his phone to double-check his messages. "I told Y I wasn't feeling well, and he said he'd keep the others out of trouble."
"Who's going to keep Y out of trouble?" Pat snarked.
The almost timid knocking came again, saving Pran from having to own that responsibility. Jerking his chin at the door, Pran glared at Pat.
"You may as well answer it."
"Why me?" Pat argued, clearly forgetting their current predicament. Pran gave him his best, "How stupid are you?" glare, and gestured at Pat's body, which he was currently wearing. Comprehension dawned, and Pat hopped up and scurried over to the door to peer through the peephole. Turning back to Pran, he had a panicked expression on his face. "It's Pa!" His panic quickly morphed into outrage.
"Wait a minute. Why is my little sister visiting your dorm room?"
Pran raised an eyebrow, or attempted to. He had discovered that not all his usual physical reactions were successful using Pat's body.
"Why don't you open the door and ask?"
Wide-eyed, Pat swallowed hard and turned back to the door, looking like he wasn't sure he wanted an answer. He opened the door and greeted his sister.
"Pa, hi, how are you? What are you doing here?"
Pran grimaced at the awkwardness of Pat's greeting.
"We need to talk,"
Pa's no-nonsense voice replied, and Pran couldn't help his grin at her casual response. He and Pa had gotten along well ever since childhood, unlike him and her brother. He heard her footsteps enter and started to worry. He had barely made it through interacting with her this morning, and now Pat was actually here to complicate matters. She was still speaking. I spoke with Pat last night and told him that I thought what he and his friends were doing was... Pran watched as she stopped mid-thought, spotting him, in Pat's body, sitting on the floor in Pran's room. He scrambled to his feet. Pa! A crease formed between her eyebrows as she looked between them, clearly trying to make sense of what she was seeing. After a moment, she smiled at Pran, her eyes shining with joy.
Yeah, you're here! Are you taking responsibility and helping?
Confused, Pran looked past Pa to Pat, who covered his face with his hand.
We were just working through some things, Pran fumbled, before managing to answer without lying.
He didn't say what things they were working through, after all. Pulling out a chair, Pa sat down at the table and looked expectantly between them.
Tell me.
What do you mean?
Pran was struggling to pretend to be Pat, while being clueless about what the siblings spoke about when they were together.
Tell me how you are fixing things with Pran,
she smiled as she looked between them.
Do we have to talk about this now? Pat interrupted, a desperate look on his face. I mean, I'm right here.
I want to be sure he is properly owning his mistakes and working to fix them, she said.
Clearly not realizing who was who, she smiled reassuringly at Pat, before turning to glare at Pran. The headache Pran had claimed that morning was beginning to pound behind his eyes, and he raised his hands to rub his temples. Pat pulled out the chair across from Pa and turned it around before straddling it backwards and sitting.
Look, Pa, he started. I really appreciate you sticking up for me.
Pat's words stumbled to a halt, and he stared at his hands, drumming on the edge of the tabletop. As Pat spoke, he looked like he was going to choke on the words, and Pran had to bite back a chuckle. A soft snort escaped, even so, and both siblings turned to glare at him. Crossing to the table, Pran joined the others sitting at the table. He glanced between the two of them before focusing on where his hands were folded on the table in front of him. Pa looked from Pran to Pat, and back to Pran, before her eyes narrowed and her expression changed. A smirk on her face, she leaned forward, elbows on the table, and spoke to Pat.
Told you.
Told me what?
Pat sounded confused.
What did you tell him?
Pran asked, feeling very much in the dark.
Her smirk now a full-on smile. Pa directed her attention at Pran before responding. I told Hia,
she looked pointedly at Pat to make sure they realized she knew what had happened,
that the two of you were soulmates.
Clapping her hands together, she laughed, delighted.
I just didn't expect the universe to lose patience with you both so quickly.
She huffed.
Then again, it has been years.
What are you talking about?
Pran asked, thinking Pa might be more inclined to answer him than her brother.
You switched overnight, right? That's why you wouldn't let me into Hia's room this morning.
Pran nodded, relieved that he didn't have to continue to pretend he was Pat.
Want to sleep in my body, woke up in Pat's.
We've been over everything each of us has done for the past several days, and nothing. I've no idea why I'm trapped in this hell.
Hey, it's not like I'm enjoying this either, Pat protested.
That's not what it looked like this morning.
Pran felt his cheeks heat as he remembered Pat's cheeky grin as he spouted innuendo combined with running his hand over Pran's body. He was unable to decide if he was more upset at Pat looking at his body or the fact that he himself had lingered over Pat's body when he changed that morning. Actually, Pat was wearing that same cheeky grin now. Pran growled deep in his throat and shoved back his chair to stand. Pat mirrored his actions, and they stood glaring at each other. Pran realized that, as much as violence might appeal in this moment, He was reluctant to hit his own face and body. It was a shame they couldn't cause their friends to switch bodies as well. It might reduce all the fighting between the architecture and engineering students. It might also result in everyone failing their classes. The slap of hands on the table startled Pran out of his thoughts.
I swear, what is it with you two?
Pa had also stood up and looked absolutely done with both of them.
Why can't you boys get along?
Pran shot Pat a superior look when Pa echoed his complaint from before her arrival. Pa groaned in frustration.
Just stop with the bullshit. You're both in enough trouble without all the posturing and one-upmanship of our parents.
Slowly, Pran sat back down. Pa was right. For whatever reason, putting him and Pat in a room together was like setting a lit match to fireworks, sparks followed by explosions. He blamed their parents. Unbidden, he remembered spending time with Pat and their small band in high school. Those were good times. Smiles and laughter. Stolen times together, creating magic through music. Pran recalled the devastation he had felt when his parents crashed the school gathering where their band was playing and dragged him away without saying a word. He never even had a chance to say goodbye when they pulled him out of school and sent him away to boarding school. Pran wondered if things might have been different for him and Pat. If they might have had an actual, out-of-the-open friendship, if not for the ongoing war between their parents. Refocusing his attention, he heard Pat ask, "What does any of that have to do with this soulmate bullshit?"
"It's not bullshit here. Soulmates exist, though not for everyone. Legend says they appear when there's a need to heal a social fracture or division. Because of their connection, soulmates are able to see past the conflict and find a peaceful resolution."
Pran huffed and shared a disbelieving look with Pat.
"Pa," Pat spoke up, "that's just myth and legend. It's not real. Even if it was, it doesn't explain why we woke up in each other's bodies."
His sister gave Pat a pitying look, and Pran bit his cheek to keep from laughing.
"It's simple. The universe is tired of your shit."
She turned her head to include Pran in her speech.
"After years of parental meddling, the two of you encountered each other again, only to have a new layer of conflict added to the one between our families. Instead of resuming where things broke off in high school, you are constantly at one another's throats, and the universe is done being subtle. You have been given the literal opportunity to spend time in each other's shoes and learn about one another. I'm guessing that the universe is not going to put you back until the lesson it's trying to teach you is learned."
That was enlightening. And not. Pat turned to Pran, who was washing dishes. Pa just left, having stayed for dinner and teasing them for the absurdity of occupying each other's bodies. She had adjusted remarkably well to addressing the person she intended, and pointed out their more obvious tells. When Pran did not elaborate, Pat prompted,
"How so?"
"Well, I appreciate your sister explaining how we are idiots. I still have no clue how we are supposed to fix this." Pran dried his hands on a towel and folded it before waving a hand to indicate the space between them. He sounded frustrated. Pat understood. He was also frustrated, but his discontent had less to do with their current situation and more to do with the feelings haunting him since their somewhat violent reunion. He still didn't know if the interest he'd had for Pran since high school was reciprocated. After Pran transferred, Pat had shoved his feelings down and told himself it was nothing. They were nothing but competitors, and now they weren't even that. He was both relieved and miserable. In time, he let go and focused on finishing school and getting into the engineering faculty at the university his parents had chosen. Then Pran had shown up and turned his life upside down. Again. Pat took a deep breath and tried to clear the air between them. We've spent our lives competing against one another, in school, in sports, and any way our parents could find. We grew up together, but weren't allowed to talk, unless it was to put each other down. We were never given the chance to be friends. But what if we could? What if we were? Do you want to be friends? Pran's expression was mulish, and gave nothing away regarding his own feelings. No, Pat answered honestly. A tear escaped and slid down Pran's cheek, another following, and the other man looked away. Standing, he pushed past Pat and walked over to stand by his desk and stare out the window. Dusk had fallen, creating shadows interspersed with city lights winking on. Pat watched him go and was struck by the image of Pran walking away back in high school, out of the school and out of Pat's life for years. They had another chance here. The universe was telling them they had another chance. How could he say no? Walking up behind Pran, he watched their reflections in the window. His rival, friend, was staring determinedly out the window, misery clear on his face. Pat's face. Everything was so confusing. There was only one thing that wasn't confusing right then. Pran. Pran's eyes closed, and he lowered his head. Pat put his hand on Pran's shoulder and tugged him around to face him. The other man stared at the floor, and Pat reached out to cup his hand along Pran's jaw. It was so weird to be looking at his own face, into his own overflowing eyes. So Pat closed his eyes and leaned in. Their noses bumped, and Pat tilted his head so that his lips pressed against Pran's. He tasted salt. They stood there, frozen for a couple of heartbeats before Pat pulled back, letting his fingers slide along Pran's jaw as he dropped his hand. Opening his eyes, he had almost no warning before Pran lunged forward. Mouths met and lips parted, and they were kissing, actually kissing. Hands cupped his face for a moment before moving to pull his head closer, fingers threading through his hair. Pat felt a moment's dizziness as his eyes closed. He focused on the touch, the taste, the scent of Pran as their mouths met and parted. Everything was so good. It was perfect. He opened his eyes and found himself actually looking into Pran's eyes once more. For half a second, he thought about saying something, before thinking, "Screw that," and stepped forward to press against Pran. Pran's eyes opened, crinkling at the corners as he smiled against Pat's mouth. Maybe there's something to the soulmate stuff after all. The beginning.